Let us pray. O God, may your holy word and the hunger of our hearts meet and lead us ever more deeply into your heart. Amen. Tevye sang that song in Fiddler on the Roof. I'm nervous to sing tradition. You know what? You sing a line, tradition, tradition. Yeah, if we do a little jig around the room. Tevye, in that play, he valued tradition. It was everything to him. He could really only imagine the way they lived their lives as it was informed by past history and the things that had come before him, the traditions. I love tradition. I love knowing where I've come from and knowing who's gone before me. And I especially like knowing why about things. Why do we do something this way? Why don't we do it that way? For me, tradition also encompasses notions of identity as well as history, the why as well as the what. Today, Protestant churches around the globe are celebrating the Reformation, which was begun in 1517. Martin Luther did that. It was 501 years ago now in Germany. And we are celebrating it as well because it is our tradition. And because I think knowing our roots is key to knowing who we are and then where we're going. And it's good to remember that this 500-year-old tradition was at the time a change of epic proportion for the church. I believe that if you don't know where you've been, you will have a really hard time discovering where you're going. So knowing the past always will inform the future. So this morning, we're going to take a look at this part of our history. Martin Luther was born in Germany, 1483, at the very end of the Middle Ages. His early life was ruled by a fear of God's judgment on him. But then the course of his life was changed when he was just 22 years old during a thunderstorm. Lightning, he was walking through the forest on his way back to school, and lightning struck a tree really close to him, and he was terrified. And so he fell down to his knees, and he cried out, "Help, St. Anna, if you save me, I'll become a monk." Well, he did indeed survive, and so he left law school. He sold his books, and just weeks later, he was in an Augustinian monastery. He did become a pastor, and then he got his doctorate in theology, and he was a respected professor at the University at Wittenberg, and he was also the assistant pastor for the Castle Church there in the same town. His personal and his professional life both had the same purpose, to serve Christ and his church. At that time, in Europe, the church was the Roman Catholic Church under the leadership of Pope Leo X. And the nature of church then was very different from today. 16th century Catholic leaders knew that encouraging individual believers to read the Bible for themselves in their own language would undermine the authority of their hierarchy. And so masses were held in Latin, which was not the common language, and the Bible, they didn't have access to the Bible because it had not yet been translated into German. That's why Roman Catholic churches, cathedrals, all had stained glass windows that tell the stories of the Bible. Those were like comic books, so that they could see the stories of the Bible because they couldn't read the Bible to know the stories. It was all visual. Well, the church was also teaching that you could secure your place in heaven by doing good deeds. There was a whole hierarchy of that, and I'll throw a little theological term in there. It was called salvation by works. You worked for your salvation. And they also were teaching that you could literally buy forgiveness.
Wouldn't that be great?
Huh. In fact, you could purchase a certificate which would grant forgiveness of your sins and promise you salvation and eternal life in heaven. You could buy that and get that on a piece of paper. In fact, Pope Leo financed the renovations of St. Peter's Basilica by the selling of these. They were called indulgences. Well, during this time, Luther had been studying the Bible, reading theology and philosophy, as well as living the life of a faithful monk. And yet still, something was just not right for him. For all of his striving, he did not feel at peace with God, nor with his church. Then some of Luther's parishioners purchased these indulgences and asked him about them. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And this is when he knew that his beloved church was on the wrong path. Also at this time, he was studying and lecturing on the book of Romans. And these words from chapter 3 grabbed him. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Believers are now made right with God by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. Wow. Well, his discovery of God's grace in these verses changed his life, and he was never the same again. And not only was his life changed, but the course of history shifted in that moment by his close and prayerful reading of those verses. And so he wanted to talk with folks in the church about this new insight and its implications, perhaps, for the church. So he wrote his now famous 95 theses, which were basically points for discussion, and he sent them to his archbishop. He also posted them on the front door of the church on October 31st, that's what happened, 1517, which was the common practice of the day. The church's front door opened onto a main street in the city, and it was a good place to post notices for the public to read. He chose October 31st because it was the day before All Saints' Day. All Saints' Day is November 1st, and it's a huge day in the Roman Catholic Church. We'll celebrate it as well ourselves next Sunday. Well, Luther knew that on November 1st that a lot of people would be coming to church, and so it would be a good day to post his ideas. And a lot of the folks that would be coming would be educated and literate and would read them. So this was truly the Twitter feed of the day, was to put things on the door of the church. And that was their tradition, and that's just the way they done it. What's remarkable is not the fact that he nailed a piece of paper to the door, but what was on that paper is what's important. The bottom line of what was on that paper is this: you cannot buy your way into heaven, to God, or salvation with money or with good works. The only way is through faith in Christ. That's how we find forgiveness from our sins, and that's how we draw close to God. And the way to know more about Christ and God is by reading the Bible. I love that we gave the Bible to our confirmants on today, Reformation Day. In fact, Lutheran churches, they have Confirmation Day on Reformation Sunday. In fact, they they'll do their program, and then they'll bring the kids back for that fall so that today can be confirmation, because it's a high holy day. The Bible, Luther discovered, does two things, which come through in this reading from Romans. It shows us our sin, and it shows us our Savior. We are conscious of our sin, yes, but we are also no longer afraid of punishment from an angry God. We learn through Jesus that sin is not so much breaking God's law as it is breaking God's heart. And so we come to God brokenhearted, ourselves like a sorry child coming to its mother. And because we know that the God we come to is love, we can approach him. We can trust him with forgiveness, and we know that we have a relationship with God through Jesus. Because through Jesus, God turns everything upside down. The woman caught in adultery is forgiven, and her accusers are convicted. The sick and the maimed are healed and made whole. Hated outcasts now have a dinner companion. Excluded children are now brought to the center. And at the center with them is Jesus. Through Jesus and the center of our life, we have forgiveness and love like nothing else. Through the death of Christ, that blood that he shed on the cross, we are freed from the weight of our sin. Our identity as Christians and as a church then grows out of this wondrous act of love, Christ's sacrifice on the cross for our salvation. And God gives us this gift, not because we deserve it, but because it is God's nature to be merciful, to give us what we don't deserve. And this is really good news. And it was such good news to Luther 500 years ago that he had to find a way to tell everyone. And when he found that the church was an obstacle to this good news in Jesus Christ, he set about to correct them. He invited people to debate and to discuss these new insights because he was confident that the word of God would show people the truth and that their errors would be corrected. And it's helpful to know that Martin Luther never intended to break from the Roman Catholic Church. If he knew that an entire tradition was named after him, the Lutherans, he would be astonished. He truly wanted his church to share the good news he'd found in Scripture and to realign themselves with the Bible. He did not want to go off and start a new tradition. But the Holy Spirit was alive in Luther and in his work. And even though he was excommunicated, not just from his church, but from the state he was in, he continued to dedicate his life to bringing the good news to all the people. While he was imprisoned, he was actually imprisoned for his safety because he was a wanted man. That was when he was able to translate the Bible into German. And that took the Bible into the hands of everybody. His following was immense. He probably had millions of Twitter followers, and then other scholars rose up to debate with him and continue the conversation. And so others like John Calvin and Ulrich Zwingli, though they were in Switzerland, and then Reformation started happening all over Europe. That's how the Protestant Reformation was born. As the church moved and moves through time and history, things change. And sometimes things change for the better, and sometimes not. Sometimes our church, will stop doing things a certain way, drop a tradition, and then other times we'll take up new ways and we'll start new traditions. But as we do well to keep the story and the insights, more importantly, the insights of Martin Luther with us. I'm reminded of a book about the church written by Brown Barr. And it's called High Flying Geese. And in this book, he uses the lives of a flock of geese as a metaphor for the church. When geese are flying, they are able to change direction quickly and extremely accurately. They may see food or a place to land and need to get from there to here on a dime. And while flying, they do this because they can bank their bodies 180 degrees even as they swoop down to the ground. They can land with accuracy and without injury because no matter how far they turn their bodies, 180 degrees, that's upside down, their heads remain level and fixed on the horizon. And that's how the church ought to move, with our heads and our eyes fixed on Christ. That's what Luther was all about, focused on the Bible's teachings about God's grace and God's forgiveness as he sought to steer them back on course. And for us as well, as we constantly consider who we are as a congregation and where we are going, we should look back at regular intervals, yeah? But as we fly forward, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, his death and resurrection, and the word through which we know him. This will not only keep us from crashing, but will keep us headed in the right direction, soaring to heights we can only imagine. May it be so. May it be so. Amen.